Good afternoon. I know it's been a long week for folks, so I'll keep my comments brief and be happy to take whatever questions that folks have. This afternoon, I signed House Bills 1 through 13, which provide authorization for spending in the 2016 fiscal year. I want to thank the General Assembly for once again passing a budget on time and providing the fiscal certainty and stability that's an important part of maintaining our AAA credit rating. It's not something we should take for granted. Just this year, lawmakers in Florida and Washington adjourned without passing a budget at all. Not only did the legislature act in a timely fashion, they also followed my budget outline in a number of key areas. In my State of the State address in January, I called on the legislature to invest in priorities that would strengthen our economy and our communities. From local schools to high-tech startups, I'm pleased to report that the General Assembly has answered that call. For example, this budget builds on the progress we've made in helping Missourians with disabilities live up to their God-given potential. When I took office, some Missourians with developmental disabilities and their families had spent years on a state waiting list to get their Medicaid services that were so needed. Working together, we brought that wait list down to zero. And with this budget, we'll keep it that way, with $13.9 million additional dollars to ensure Missourians with developmental disabilities receive the services they need to lead more independent lives, things like physical therapy, occupational therapy, and transportation. The budget bills I signed this afternoon also include a $43 million increase to serve additional individuals with developmental disabilities who are in a crisis and need more intensive care. With many families struggling to care for aging parents and grandparents, this budget also includes an increase of $27.9 million for elderly and disabled Missourians who need care in their own homes. For kids, this budget provides record funding for the best economic development tool there is, public education, with an $84 million increase in the K-12 foundation formula and an additional $21 million in the Proposition C funds. The fiscal year 2016 budget includes a total increase of $105 million for local school districts around the state. That means smaller class sizes, more technology, better training for our teachers, and other tools that will help our kids succeed. The legislature also heeded my call to provide additional funding for foster kids and to ensure young children with special needs have access to the services that will help them thrive. When it comes to higher education, this budget includes a $12 million increase in performance funding for our higher education institutions and follows my recommendations to increase funding for A-plus scholarships. As governor, I've made it a priority to give more students who work hard and play by the rules and give back to their communities a chance to go to community college tuition-free. This budget will help ensure we can meet our obligation to those kids. Creating jobs by supporting small businesses is another thing we can agree on. Consistent with my recommendation, this budget includes more than $18 million for the Missouri Technology Corporation, which helps prime the pump of our economy by investing in high-tech startups and entrepreneurs. A portion of those funds will also support research and marketing efforts to strengthen Missouri's beef industry. We got great input from stakeholders at our beef summit earlier this year, and these funds will help us identify new ways to make our cattle industry stronger and more profitable. Finally, our waterways are vital arteries for economic activity, which is why I'm pleased this budget includes $6 million for port construction projects. Now, it's important to note that the investments are possible because our economy continues to rebound. More folks getting back to work means more revenue for priorities that will keep our state moving forward. As of last month, revenues were up 7.7% compared to last year, an increase that is above the revised consensus estimate. This is a positive trend that I hope we will continue to see in the months ahead. And it's why, quite frankly, it was disappointing that the legislature unnecessarily cut $90 million from vital services, including health care for seniors, people with disabilities, and kids. We're working as we speak to assess and minimize the impact of these cuts in social service so that we can continue to protect our most vulnerable citizens. In addition, at a time when Missourians are rightfully concerned about the security of their personal information online, it's troubling that the legislature cut over $2 million from the information technology budget of the Office of Administration. Now, one other budget item of significance I want to talk about is the appropriation the General Assembly provided authorizing the expansion of Medicaid managed care beyond the 53 counties where it currently exists. Right now, 48% of Missourians who are enrolled in Medicaid already receive benefits through private managed care companies. And 2 months ago, I proposed greater access to private insurance as one of the reforms that should be considered as we work to bring our tax dollars home and provide affordable health care to more working families through Medicaid expansion. That is why we will be moving forward to expand managed care. But we're going to do it in a careful, transparent, and responsible way. Let me be very clear. Under no circumstances will we implement this expansion at the expense of vulnerable Missourians like those with severe mental illness, or include populations with special needs, like Missourians with disabilities and seniors in managed care. We have seen in other states the detrimental impact of trying to do something quick, I should note in this area, rather than trying to do something right. And that's why we're going to move forward in a time frame that will allow for robust input from both healthcare providers and consumers and ensures Missourians continue to have access to the quality care they need and deserve. It's important to note that this approach is consistent with the principles I've outlined previously, that we should always be looking for ways to make our healthcare system more efficient and effective while protecting the vulnerable Missourians who depend upon it. And if it's done right, that's exactly what expanding the use of managed care can do, delivering savings to taxpayers, providing better care to patients, and taking us one step closer to giving affordable health care to thousands of working Missourians. Finally, the materials that have been distributed include my veto of a drafting error in House Bill 10 and a signing statement regarding language in House Bill 2 that is inconsistent with existing law. Once again, I want to thank the members of the legislature for their work to get these bills to my desks. We're also working to review House Bill 17, 18, and 19, which include capital improvements and the authority for a strategic bond issue. Moving forward, as we approach the beginning of the fiscal year beginning July 1st, we will continue to monitor the revenue numbers carefully and take the actions necessary to maintain our fiscal discipline and continue our economy growing forward. Thank you, and with that, I'll be glad to take any questions. We just don't know yet. I mean, we obviously had a really good April, which at that double-digit figure, and overall the year 7.7 in this fiscal year. But we'll just have to watch it. I mean, it's now, you know, still May, and the fiscal year doesn't start until July 1, and obviously you have statutory constructs which cause you to restrict on the front end of the year as law says to hold some back, but we'll watch it very carefully. Hopefully, the economy keeps going, but we'll continue to be very fiscally prudent as we go through what our capabilities are.
You didn't veto anything that was possible override vote this year. Do you agree with Senator Schaefer or disagree that during the legislative session, if they address a line item veto, they can override it with a simple majority?
Disagree. Disagree with that, but to override a governor requires 2/3, which, whatever. Okay, next question. I'd like to, but I don't know if I should. I mean, I shouldn't say it for a press. I mean, it's a process. Obviously, it's a process we're moving forward. We got a whole nother week. I do think we're that we share priorities of making sure we're investing in our infrastructure. We also have seen the challenges if we don't. One of which is not being able to match federal dollars as we move on out. And I do think that the plan outlined has an opportunity to move forward. We had productive discussions, not only with those senators, but with others. It remains something I think that clearly can get done between now and next Friday at 6. No, it's underneath the Hancock limit. And it's a good thing to note. I mean, when the Hancock limit was passed and the second Hancock, they specifically gave to the legislature and to the governor the ability, when things were needed, within a certain amount, to get additional revenue for needed needed projects and priorities. So no, I clearly don't think that I clearly know that the amounts we're talking about here are underneath that that Hancock limit, and you know, could be would allow us to continue to meet the match and continue to move forward on a number of construction and maintenance projects that we have. 1.5 on gas, 3.5 on diesel. I got to spend a good deal of personal time with Senator Schaaf and a number of others, and appreciate, you know, Senator Schaaf and I have always been able to communicate. As I said before, I think there's a path forward here. I think there's a path forward, and I think it's an important thing to keep folks focused on. We've seen a lot of people willing to come forward. I mean, the Senate's already had a vote on the 1535. You know, they've already voted for that with 18 votes, and I think that as people see the needs out there, that we'll continue to build momentum. We're approaching halftime of the legislature with 1 week to go, and there's plenty of time for to get this stuff. I thought we had productive meetings over the last week, especially yesterday, last night, this morning, and I think there's a path forward. Well, certainly not my intent with a week to go to talk about what I'll do if they don't get things done. And clearly I put it in my budget, and it's important to do it. So it would have a very significant hole in needed programs if it wasn't getting done. You know, it was it's something that needs to get done before next Friday. They were both in that bill, so I mean, I think that I think the path forward includes additional revenue and some structure around making sure there's a whole lot of input before you would have either public-private partnership on 70 or tolls. And I think there is, you know, so looking at the second of those in the PPP and the toll side on a structure and protections there for folks that want to make sure there's plenty of process, I think is an area where we'll continue to have, I think, fruitful and productive discussions. Yeah. No, I think that 70 was one of the roads that was left. I mean, certain areas, perhaps, but 70 was one of the roads set aside. I think that MoDOT has, if they had a revenue source, obviously. I mean, you don't want to go do these things because you got to pulse the money forward and build things. I think there is authority to do that. Well, just a couple of things. You know, it's you know, I am gonna I'm gonna take a hard look at it, and I'm gonna get input from pretty much all the groups and individuals that were involved. I mean, it clearly grew beyond just dealing with the specific challenge of the districts because of the challenges in Normandy and Riverview, and with those additional issues come strong opinions and informed opinions, and I'll begin a process once we get through the session of trying to understand the bill better. It's relatively long, and understand what the best policy for the state is moving forward on that. And so, like I say, it's a really when I say. My mind is open because I do think, you know, I can learn a lot about some of the concepts that are in there to chart a course, but we shouldn't make – but I clearly have not decided what I'm going to do on that bill. A couple of things. I've called for municipal court reform repeatedly, both privately and publicly. I appreciate the serious work by the General Assembly on this issue, and I thought they were serious and you know we were involved with them on some pieces of it and all that sort of stuff. Not me personally, but some of the folks. My feeling is, you know, my general feeling is, you know, kind of try to deal with everyone the same in a state, But I've not delved into legal issues. I do know that but far some of the challenges in that part of the state, I don't think we'd be here today as far as getting a bill done. That's not a legal reason other than to say I just appreciate the serious work here, and as I look at that, it's something I call for in the state of the state, so I haven't made a decision on it, and I'll look at those. But, you know, they answered my call to spend serious time with serious members on it. They had a pretty significant process in both the House and the Senate on it. I have a lot of respect for the people who were involved in the process, and we had, like I say, that is one difference that wasn't part of what I was, in essence, the structure I was looking at. But it's not in and of itself something that is by itself a singular factor that would cause me to disapprove the bill. But like I said, I just got to look at it. You know, you all know. I mean, this stuff crosses your desks too. I mean, we share a responsibility. Mine constitutional, is yours journalistic, to actually read the stuff. And I have not had the time to get through that one. And we will have a robust bill review process. But the point is, I called for it. I called for it a number of times. Good people working on it. It's in an area that I think is important to get reforms. And it appears there's a lot of good things in the bill. I like one and not the other. Well, no, the FRA's got, as I said before, I answered a question before. I mean, continuing what has been a system in our state that has allowed us to more effectively than most states use federal dollars to provide health care opportunities. So, I mean, I was in Senate when we were working that with Governor Ashcroft a bunch of years ago, and we've been actively involved in using that tool to make it more cost-effective for us to move forward. Without getting through the excruciating details of it, I have supported that tool and think it's something that has led to more health care opportunities. Everybody knows where I'm on right to work. I mean, I don't like the concept, and it's hard to write a good bill on a concept you don't like. I got to see it, but I mean, I think we ought to make it easier for people to vote, not harder. I mean, the challenges we have in this democracy are not that we have too many people showing up at the polls and putting hurdles to people to get the right to vote. I mean, I'm not sure what problem that's trying to solve. You know, I think, you know, there's lots of ways to we need more people voting and putting up hurdles that people have to get over, especially people who are frail or don't have driver's licenses for whatever reason or whatever. It's not something I've vetoed it before. Everybody knows where I am. I've said it hundreds of times in thousands of settings across the Show Me State for the better part of the last 30 years. Well, I'm not trying to put extra sentences on stuff. I mean, I said I didn't like one bill and I like the other. It's generally my distaste for things on when it comes to bills causes me to reflect that distaste in which side of the thing I sign. I'm just not going to get into a situation where I'm going to play gotcha on bills that aren't to my desk yet. I told you before, and I've said before, right to work is not the right policy for the state of Missouri. Making sure that we have organized workers has been helpful to us. Making sure we have better worker safety is important to us. And many of the things that organized labor have been able to do for all workers in the state, the 40-hour work week, the weekend, child labor laws, maternity leave, many of those things continue to be important especially important as we see a greater concentration of capital and fewer and fewer. I'm for creating jobs, and I think that having strong, empowered, safe workers is important, and I think allowing them to be organized has been something that I've supported in my entire career and would not do anything in this job to lessen that. I think everybody knows where I am on that. Everybody appreciates where I am, and we should get to things that are going to create jobs and move the state forward, not things that make it harder on folks to be organized and move forward. No, I mean it's there, but it really didn't affect too much of what we were doing. I mean, this is a job that you look at what you got coming in, you look at what you got going out, you try to match those two. The budget is just budget authority, you know. Expending is what you do eventually through the executive branch, whether it's me or whoever. And so that didn't change by any of that, and the fundamental responsibilities didn't change. I'd have to say it has not changed my view of things or the conduct of my responsibilities. I'll come there. I'm sure. I mean, I'm having a meeting after that. I've been working on this, you know, going through a lot of stuff. I just haven't. My Friday afternoon legislative meeting will be that they kind of try to keep bad news till right before the Friday night, but I just have to sit down with the director of legislation and the rest of the folks and see what's out there on the calendar, which bills are set up to get a chance to move. But I'm sure there's some stuff out there that I like, and I'm sure there's some stuff out there that I'd prefer not to get here. I just don't have a specific, Bob. I just don't have a specific on that at that point. Yeah, sorry. It hadn't gotten a tremendous amount of my attention because it's a slice of bread when we need a loaf, you know. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's a very incremental step, which once again I'm in a world of incremental steps are part of the business, and I'm not saying anything negative about the steps they've made. I have to look at it, but I think one of the reasons I'm hopeful that they make a step forward and then come back next year and make some substantial steps forward. It doesn't contain a significant number of the principles that I've outlined numerous times that I think are important, but it does make a step forward, and I appreciate the legislature for keeping that issue moving forward, and I hope they get something that makes our laws better in that area to my desk. I'm no less frustrated as we see other states moving forward, as we see other states' economy benefiting from that. I do think that on the managed care piece, there are some opportunities in there. There's been folks who have said, reform it and expand it. As we go about implementing a budgetary item, the expenditure authority. Area. There may be some paths there that present opportunities in the future. But I think we're clearly seeing that the states that are moving forward are benefiting greatly from it, and that the states that don't, their economies are dragging because, once again, we're sending $2 billion to Washington. It's being used in other states. So, we'll continue to push on that, and would hope that there would be a time which I'd get to sign that measure.
Two more questions.
Yeah. April was a pretty good month, but I'm not sure it was that good a month. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, you got to get going pretty good. And then in 17 with 509 coming in, you're going to have real challenges there. If we had Medicaid expansion, we'd have another over $100 million of general revenue that would help us accelerate towards that process. We'll look, as I said, for me and for I think a lot of folks down here, priorities K-12 are right up there on the top. I can't predict with great certainty that far out on the economy to see, other than it's certainly something I'd like to see done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, certainly folks who joined me in public service, I appreciate their service and would like to see them compensated better. You know, I think there's a – I mean, without getting overly theoretical about it, I think that if you can find a pathway so that folks can get promoted and so that folks can have a career where they move forward to additional compensation as opposed to just what percentage more does somebody in a position get, that's a better – the private sector doesn't say – all right, here's the end of the year. What percentage raise are we going to give everybody? They say, you know, if you're willing to, for example, if you're willing to tolerate Bob Pretty for a decade, perhaps you too can be the head of a major news organization in the state. You know, and I'm hopeful that they pay you a little bit more for the additional responsibility. I mean, and as you've recovered from the many years of tutelage of our good friend. I think that the secret here is not to be stuck in this what percentage over the base, but to be talking about how do we begin to morph to public careers being ones in which as you move forward with your career getting additional responsibility. Then it's appropriate. I don't have the figures here. The commissioner's around. I mean, I'm not calling on Commissioner Nelson. Other than to say, there have been a whole lot of people promoted in the last few years. There have been a whole lot of people that have accepted that challenge to move forward. So for me, making sure not just that it's a baseline number that gets bigger, but that we have a clear path to people that want to work hard, accept more responsibility, be creative in their work, and be good with their fellow workers, that those kind of folks can get promoted and get additional responsibility and additional compensation so that we I think that's a better way to think about best practices long run than it is just what percent more did you give everybody?
But don't you also want to have a policy where people who are doing some of the grunt jobs, not everybody can move forward. Don't you want to have some kind of policy that rewards the people for sticking around rather than having to pay the cost?
Yeah, now, like I said, I think that we should strive to make sure that folks that work in the public sector get more competitive wages. And there are lots of ways to get there. Obviously the legislature didn't believe that across the board COLA was the way to do it this year. It's not in the budget. So I'm trying to look at ways we can do this where we can acknowledging the problem and challenge that we have, get some concrete progress. No. You know, I have in the past. We did have, we're trying to do more as we can afford it. We're coming out of this recession. I feel better about the economy and look forward to continuing to work on that challenge. Thanks, everybody. Get some rest. See you next week.